Continue our studying in 1 Thessalonians. But I want to begin reading out of Ezekiel chapter 20, keeping in mind that the Old Testament was written for our learning and to exhort us of us who are living at the end of this age. We're living in the end times. And we need to be encouraged to be faithful to the Lord. And this portion of Scripture is dealing with the Lord in judging His people, the nation of Israel. And we need to... And what I want to share with you this morning is this. The judgment that God has for His people are not all the same. One thing you've got to keep in mind is this. The Old Testament believers will not be judged on the basis of faith, because faith is not in the Old Testament. Faith was not revealed until after the law. So God's not going to deal with the nation of Israel on the basis of faith. He will deal with them on the basis of faithfulness and obedience. He will deal with us on the basis of faithfulness and obedience as well, but also whether or not we please Him by living by faith. Also, another thing that we need to keep in mind when it comes to the wrath of God, and that's what the title of the message is basically this morning, is that God is not going to require something of you that you do not have the capacity to receive. He has given some of us ears to hear and eyes to see, and others He has not. In fact, the Word of God says, blindness in part has happened unto the nation of Israel. That's not blindness in part as far as salvation is concerned. It has to do with truth. And God's not going to judge the nation of Israel in the areas where He has blinded their minds or their eyes or ears. There are those who have not received the law, but there is a law written in their hearts, and God will judge them based upon that law, even though they do not know anything about the Word of God, wherever they may be. So the point I want us to get here is this. God's not going to deal with everyone on the same level of judgment. I think one of the prime examples of this is Moses and the children of Israel as they were coming out of the land of Egypt. How many times does it say in the Word of God that Israel sinned? In the Numbers chapter, I think it's chapter 13 or 14, it says that the children of Israel sinned 10 times, and they were disqualified from entering the land of flowing with milk and honey. How many times did Moses sin and he was disqualified from entering the land flowing with milk and honey? Once. And so therefore, the level of light depends upon or determines the judgment that we will experience or receive from the Lord. So if you don't have ears to hear, there are certain things that you really don't have to worry about. And that's the message basically this morning is this. It has to do with this. This is the reason why it's very important for us to be careful about sharing truth. The more truth we share to people that basically really can't hear or can't see certain truths, you're making it worse for them in the end. And it's better for you not to share the deeper things of the Word of God with people, because what happens is you're bringing a greater judgment upon them, because they will be judged according to the light that they have received. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with salvation. Salvation's milk. And you can tell anyone, anywhere, anytime how to be saved. But there are certain truths pertaining to His coming kingdom and glory and ruling and reigning that should be on the basis of questions only. you remember this, you know, I'm not really going by the outline. I'm sort of building a little background here for you so that you can understand where we're going this morning. But remember Jesus' ministry? Jesus taught in parables not to make things clear. Parables don't make things understandable. Parables stimulate thought. Parables stimulate questions. And after Jesus taught the parable of the sower, the multitude didn't gather around and say, "What did you mean?" It was his disciples who gathered around and said, "What do you mean?" And Jesus says, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, but unto them it is not given, because you have eyes to see and ears to hear." So when it comes to the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, those are truths that are for those whom God has called unto His kingdom and glory. And not all have been called unto His kingdom and glory, because it says, "Many are called, but few are chosen." This doesn't have to do with salvation. This has to do with the kingdom of the heaven. And notice that he uses the word called. That is a ear perker upper. I guess that's one way to put it. The calling has to do with those who have ears. You can call someone who has hearing impairment and they don't respond. Or as I experienced in Florence, Italy, when I was on a tour going through the cathedrals and through the museums there in Florence, Italy, as long as she spoke my language, I was over there by her. She was our tour guide, and I understood what she had to say, and you know, I was admiring all the things that she was pointing out in the different places. But as soon as she switched over to German or French or Italian, I no longer had ears to hear. So I was like the multitude of the nation of Israel. I wandered off after the message was over. In other words, I couldn't understand it. I wandered off looking around. And the same thing happened to the children of Israel who did not have ears to hear. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 35, and he says, "I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God." Now, I want to skip down to, well, I'm just going to read down through verse 38, right? "And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgressed against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Now I want to skip down to verse 42, where it says, "And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I shall bring you into the land of Israel and into the country for which I lifted up mine hand to give it to your fathers. And there shall ye remember your ways and all your doings wherein ye have defiled. And ye shall loathe yourself in your own sight for all your evils that ye have committed." Now I want to skip over to chapter 36 of Ezekiel and verse 24. Ezekiel 36 and verse 24. He says, "I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and to do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you, and I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Here is, I'm going to continue reading here in just a minute, but I want to set the stage. Here is a portion of Scripture that says that God says, I'm going to bring you into the land, and I'm going to forgive you, I'm going to cleanse you, I'm going to give you a new heart, you're not going to have any famine anymore, I'm going to make sure that the crops grow and the trees produce fruit, I'm going to bless you. But there is still some accountability going to happen. Then verse 31. Then shall you remember your evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own way, O house of Israel. Even though God cleans the slate, the memory banks are still active. Even though they're living in blessing here on the earth, their memory banks are bringing back the iniquities that God has forgiven them for. That's the reason why when God judges His people, there are going to be tears in heaven for up to 1,000 years. In studying for this, I found out that tears are going to be wiped away in two places. They're going to be wiped away at the beginning of the millennium for those who came through the tribulation period, who washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Those who came through the tribulation period are going to have their tears wiped away because they cleansed themselves before the Lord. These people right here, God cleansed them. They didn't cleanse themselves. They didn't change their life. God changed them for them. In other words, He did it. He put the heart, new heart in there and everything. Then the tears will be wiped away again at the end of the millennium. So we have a period of time of 1,000 years. It'll begin with tears being wiped away, and it will end with tears being wiped away. And it all has to do with the thought life. We can be forgiven, and we will be forgiven because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the tears will be there because of our behavior. And therefore it's so important to know that it does make a difference how you live and what you do. And that's the thrust of the ministry here, is to encourage you to behave yourself in the Lord. Don't be enticed to do evil. Don't be enticed to go party and get into reveling and such like. We're here to encourage one another to be faithful to the Lord. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. This wrath has to do with the judgment of believers and not the lost. He hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain, purchase, possess, gain, salvation, or deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ. This has to do with victory in our life. If you live a defeated life, you will suffer consequences of it. God wants us to live a victorious life, and He has provided the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our high priest. He is the one interceding on our behalf. And we don't have to live defeated lives. We can be victorious in our walk with the Lord. And so therefore, we need to be encouraged to receive His deliverance. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ and His ministry today. Now, reminded us the fact that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, it says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it." I think the day that it's talking about here is not one day, but the day is the millennium. The millennium will declare what our works have done for us. Sometimes that period of time may be short, sometimes it may be long, depending upon your success rate, your deliverance rate. Okay? Now let's go on and read. "The day, that is, I believe it's the millennial day, the 1,000 years will declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive reward." And the millennium will declare that too. That day will reveal the rewards. Some will be ruling over 10 cities, 5 cities, and some are going to be in prison or in jail. "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss." And that loss, the day will declare it as well, that the millennial day. "But he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire." What is being judged? His works. His works are being judged. Now, the burden of this message this morning is this. When you read through the Gospels, you find references made to outer darkness, prison, furnace, burning, age-lasting fire, Gehenna. There's no consistent term that we can relate to the word hell, as we all think of the term hell. Hell, basically speaking, is the lake of fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. And those who have not received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will spend eternity in that lake of fire, I believe. But because there's no consistency, outer darkness is not hell, by the way. Gehenna is not hell. The furnace is not hell. It says that a servant who didn't have on the wedding garment was bound hand and foot and carried out into outer darkness. The five foolish virgins were shut out of the marriage feast. That doesn't last. The marriage feast doesn't last for 1,000 years. The marriage feast is enjoyed, and then you go on about life. In other words, you don't, you know, some people, I guess, can get married and have a honeymoon for the rest of their life, but I sure couldn't afford it. But the point I'm saying is this. These seem to be all symbolic judgments that we can relate to. Another one is beaten with many stripes. Now I think all of us, what I think the Lord was trying to do was saying, these are things that you're not going to like. I didn't like to get a licking. I didn't want to go to jail, so I behaved myself. I try to keep out of jail. I understand what being burned is. It hurts. I don't like it. Outer darkness. Outer darkness is a place where you are excluded. Peer pressure today is unbearable for teenagers and adults alike. People are trying to get you to do what they are doing. But they sure won't do what you would like for them to do, like go to church and get involved in things of the Lord. So the point I'm saying is this. These different, like Gehenna. Gehenna was a reference to the valley of Hinnom, which was outside the city of Jerusalem, where people dumped old dead bodies and garbage, and where the altars of Moloch were found, and God, the prophet said, we want to defile those places. What the Lord, I believe, is saying to us is, look, these are things that you don't want to experience. Now, where I may not appreciate Gehenna, I can sure appreciate a burn. I can sure appreciate a licking. There's some things that I can't really appreciate, like a furnace. I've never really been around a furnace unless you've lived in Pittsburgh or South Pittsburgh, where furnaces were a long time ago. You may not be able to relate to them, but the point is this: I can relate to the fact of being burned and being licked, or being beaten, or being excluded. These are all things that I don't want to endure. And let me tell you, I have wept tears over being excluded. Maybe you have too. And I do believe that it's the mental process that's the same for everyone. We will be remembering things that we did that we shouldn't have done. And we will loathe those things. And those tears will be wiped away eventually when the memory banks are cleared. So that's the point I want to emphasize. Outer darkness, again, is not hell. Gehenna is not hell. Beaten with many stripes, that's not hell. If it's the lake of fire, then it's where believers will be, because believers are the ones who will be in those places. Another thought is this. When you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sitting down in the kingdom, and you're booted out, that's not going to make you happy. Okay? So, that's the thrust of the thoughts this morning on the message, is that we can suffer loss because of the way we live and behave ourselves in the Lord. And the millennium will declare it. The millennium will declare our rewards, whether we are ruling over 10 cities or 5 cities, whether we have a heavenly inheritance or an earthly inheritance. One of the two. Israel will not have a heavenly inheritance, even though they were offered one. But because they refused it and they wouldn't produce the fruits thereof, their inheritance is here on the earth. And I do believe today that there will be many of those who know the Lord as their Savior today will not have a heavenly inheritance. They are only qualified for an earthly one. And particularly, if you don't have ears to hear. Because the having of ears to hear is for a heavenly calling, a heavenly inheritance, heavenly blessings. And if you don't have ears to hear, you will not have a heavenly blessing or an inheritance, you'll have an earthly. And let me say this, that's not bad. Children, the 12 apostles are going to be ruling here on the earth over the 12 tribes of Israel. And so therefore, it's not something to be, if that's what God has appointed for you, that's not something that is to be not wanted, okay? Now, I pointed out to you before that we will not be judged the same, but we will be judged on what we know. In Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48, it says, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes," or many. "But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be asked, or much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." So it is better not to know, because the less you know, the less you'll be judged on. But let me tell you, if you've been called, you want to know all you can. If you've got ears to hear, you want to know all you can know. You don't want to be like a man who just got up out of my training union class one Sunday evening at a Baptist church in Chattanooga, when he told me, he says, "Don't say another word." And he got up and left. Because he asked me the question, "Will I be held accountable for what I'm hearing?" And I said, "Absolutely true." you will be held accountable for what you're hearing. And the man had a certain amount of common, or I don't know whether it's savvy or whatever, but he knew better than to sit there any longer and hear what he was hearing, because he sure wasn't going to do what I was encouraging him to do. That's the point. He wasn't going to do it. He didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to have to be judged by it, so he got up and left. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, it says, after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge, or exact knowledge, or knowledge upon knowledge, that's what the Greek word epinosis means, knowledge upon knowledge, of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein. In other words, when you find out that it makes a difference how you live, if you're going to rule and reign, you will repent of the pollutions of this world. But if you get entangled therein again and overcome by the world, the flesh, and the devil, the latter end is worse than with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Now this is not the lost refusing to be saved. The lost never enter into epinosis knowledge. The lost never enter into the deeper knowledge of the Word of God. This repentance is based upon the fact that you have to produce the fruits thereof, and you have to be clean, and you have to have the righteousness which is of faith. But if you gain that righteousness and then turn from it, it's been better for you not to have known it. That's the point. Okay? It's better for not to know it. Now, I made mention of the fact that there will be different judgments. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, for as many have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Just remember this. Abraham, Lot, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, all these men of God, did not have the law. The law didn't come until Moses. But they will be judged based upon the revelation that God gave them. Just like Moses and those after Moses will be judged on the revelation given to them in the law. Not only the moral law, but the ceremonial law as well. And so, there will be, there are differences in judgment. Well, I'll tell you, I think I've probably saturated your thoughts already this morning, and it's already after 12. So what I want to do is I want to pick this up again next Sunday, Lord willing, and to continue the thoughts. And I hope between now and next Sunday, you will read over the notes. And so that when you come next Sunday morning, you'll become prepared to ask me some questions or get more answers, Lord willing, hopefully. But again, I want to encourage you that the Lord's not unjust in His judgment. He's not going to require from you more than you have than has been revealed to you. That's one of the response things that happens in this church. If you don't want to be accountable to anything, go to a church that doesn't teach the Bible. But if you want a blessing from God, you go to a church that teaches the Bible. But let me tell you, there is a warning that goes with that. You learn the Word of God. You need to respond to the Word of God. It needs to change your life. I need to change my life. And the blessings I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love Him and obey Him and serve Him faithfully. Because they will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Our primary ministry here is to those who have ears to hear. That's basically what our ministry primarily is here. And unfortunately, that means only many are called, but few are chosen. And so the ministry here will be small. At least that's what I feel like from the Lord. That's what it'll be. But the Lord has you here for a purpose. And that purpose is to prepare you to rule and reign with Him in His coming kingdom. You're not here by accident. You're here by God's purpose and plan for you in your life. May the Lord help us all be faithful to Him so that we can hear well done. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that through the reading of it and the studying of it, we see that You're going to judge Israel one way, and You're going to judge those who have been called into Your kingdom another way. And Lord, we know that we will be held accountable for the light that You've allowed us to receive. Help us, Lord, to be faithful with the light of Your Word, that we might glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we might honor and glorify You, Father. We just pray, Father, that You bless the ministry of the Word in each of our hearts this morning. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.